We're going to now go to Claire O'Connor, who's joining us from Tools for Change. Welcome to the program, Claire.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
So do you want to just outline exactly what it is that Tools for Change does?
Sure thing. So we're going into our third year, and Tools for Change is an annual workshop series for activists, new and experienced, designed to help them cultivate their skills and hone their skills to be more effective in political organizing. It's a joint project between the Ontario Public Interest Research Group here at U of T, OPIRG, and Earthroots and Greenpeace. And it's a very exciting project. We're all really proud of it, toolsforchange.net.
Okay, and so like, give us an idea of like what sorts of programs here. I mean, I've got a list of some of them. They kind of outline things like meeting and how to organize rallies and how to talk with politicians and that sort of thing. Do you want to give us some detail just about the specific types of programs that you guys do?
Sure. I mean, maybe it's good to start with the premise of the series, which is that we believe first that political movements are really necessary for garnering public support for any number of changes that'll be useful for all of us. And what we know from experience is that you learn any number of skills through the course of doing the work. And most people who have done some political activism will say, you know, I've learned so much more doing this than I have in classes and stuff like this. And you do kind of get thrown into the deep end and have to learn things quickly. And in those moments, you can develop skills, but it's very useful to have a kind of a different space within which to break them down to their different pieces and think through how to teach them, how to train people who are new to your group and stuff like that. And so the workshops range in topic. I'm sure you have some version of a list in front of you, and all of them are available on the website, and we post them and you can register in advance. And they do range from things like public speaking, which is often a really particular skill that, you know, certain people in a group will become very good at and then be expected to do all the time. And we want more people to be able to practice these things because they help us learn about the world. They help us become more effective independently. Mm-hmm. So that's one workshop that we host. And then there are things that are a little less, less exciting or less about the spotlight, like meeting facilitation. Everybody knows that political organizing involves hundreds of meetings, and you have to have really talented facilitators to get the most out of those discussions.
I was going to say that's one of the things where, I mean, maybe you could explain a bit more about. You started to touch on it there, but what I'm definitely interested in is like the idea of like why exactly would someone need this sort of thing? Like, for instance, I noticed one of them was how to talk to the media. So, you know, what sort of troubles would your average person have when they're talking to the media, and why might they need to go to one of these workshops?
Right. I mean, I think that one of the things everybody needs to develop as they're trying to take action on a particular issue is a kind of clear sense of purpose. And that isn't something we want to just feed to one another. We want everybody to be able to come to their own terms around those things. And so being able to talk about training and workshops like this as a forum within which not to talk about a specific political line, but about a method for developing a political message, I think is really, really valuable. So in talking to the media, I mean, knowing how media works is really important as a starting point. You have to understand the risks of manipulation, the risks of going into a debate or an interview with somebody who's not as sympathetic as you are, for example.
I was going to actually jokingly volunteer to attend that and be like the practice dummy as the media, but then I realized that I'm actually a bad example of the media because I'm both informed and interested.
You are very unusual.
most aspects of the media is not, which is a good reason to stay tuned to the Green Majority all the time. But
of course.
So let's give me another example of something where people would find a practical skill to actually come to a workshop.
Well, just to elaborate on the media one, I mean, one thing that every political group, organizing group I've ever been a part of has been required to do is produce press releases and report in text on their work. And writing is a really difficult skill, and specifically writing for people who are going to spend several seconds looking at the first several lines of your press release, that's a really impressive skill. And so being able to bring people in who have developed accuracy and efficiency and an ability to be really concise and use language that will captivate without, you know, neglecting the human nature, like human reality of the problem, is really important. And I think, I mean, I run a workshop called Political Writing as part of the series. And in that workshop, again, we talk about methods of approaching problems in text. So what do we do when, you know, we need to substantiate our claims and we want to be really comprehensive and fair and accurate, but we don't want to be seduced by, you know, conventional notions of balance, right? Mm-hmm. Where we want to be very honest about inequality.
And I think a good example that I think the widest possible audience would be familiar with is would be to reference stuff like the Occupy movement and stuff that was happening, where a lot of the time where fallbacks, whether you're talking about press releases or speaking to the media or whatnot, was that it was, again, is that you have people who are not necessarily informed on the issues and they're just looking for the soundbite. And so mm-hmm. if you have someone where I've had some experience where if you go and try and, you know, someone asks you, so, you know, why are you here or why do you care about this issue? Why is this important? And you start into some long diatribe. They either cut you off or they don't use the clip if they do let you finish, because they can't publish that. They're not going to, no matter how informed or eloquent you might be, they're not going to put a 20-minute clip of you speaking on the news. They're looking for something that they can clip out. And I don't think that it's as intentional as maybe some people conspiratorially think, but mm-hmm. when you're looking for something to put in the news, a lot of the time it's more interesting as far as their ratings to put on a clip of someone throwing a Molotov cocktail than it is to put a 20-minute or, you know, try and find a 3-second mm-hmm. clip that's usable of someone's very well thought out and very well presented thing. So some of the skills that you're talking about here would be to, like, how to have a concise point that they might actually put on the news and things like that.
That would be really consequential. I mean, I don't think it's a conspiracy. I'm a proponent of, you know, Herman and Chomsky's manufacturing consent. I think people participate in media in a very nuanced, you know, somewhat innocent way. And so the question from the perspective of political strategy is, as you say, how to get the message out there, but how to get it, how to make it the right one that isn't just about being palatable for people. So I think another workshop that we host that pertains to this and perceptions of your organizing is our direct action training. Mm-hmm. And direct action is, of course, a really important way to deliver a message that is simultaneously clear. You know, you can have a banner that makes it really, you know, you have a photo shot of a banner that illustrates or explicitly cites your points or your demands. But then the act itself demonstrates the degree to which you're going to be persistent and you're going to be confrontational until certain injustice is addressed.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's another aspect as far as conflict to get into. One of the other workshops I see here is group decision making. Mm-hmm. And one of the other issues that I'm aware that can come up frequently is when you're dealing with a large group of people. I mean, again, the Occupy is a really good example, but this applies to any movement a lot of the time. Is you have a bunch of, generally when you're talking about direct action type people, the type of people that go to that, you're generally talking about very passionate sort of people. So I would think that, because that's not, you know, I tend to prefer to be behind the mic than necessarily on the street, but I would tend to think that there would be a high potential for intergroup conflict. And just as far as messaging and choosing how to go about doing that message, what exactly to do. So this is something else you'd agree with that
absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, I mean, sometimes it's conflict, but the best case scenario, again, is that everybody has taken the time outside, beyond the content, to think through the best methods for communicating with one another. That is, when you have a clear set of objectives, that is, you want to prevent a logging company from invading effectively an indigenous community's land, and you want to participate in that as someone who lives in a nearby city and doesn't know the indigenous culture, how do you carefully think through those number of constraints and, with, you know, care and deliberation, build a strategy that satisfies everybody and simultaneously is likely to achieve your political objectives? It's very challenging, and when you see skillful people do it, it's noticeable. You know, it's inspiring. So, you know, one way to put it is to imagine that there are these reduced kind of positions or inclinations, and I don't prefer the spotlight either, like you. But I do think we should avoid the caricatures, because really what happens in those meetings is that you learn people are extremely, have an equal complexity as the political question itself in terms of their preferences around political action.
Absolutely. And I think finally, we only have about two minutes left. But I think one last thing that I wanted to ask as well is that, I mean, some of the groups that you said here that are participating, among others, you said the Earthroots and Greenpeace and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. These, I want to sort of ask you about the idea about, because you're talking about things like very practical things, like how to organize a march and how to organize a rally. The types of groups that are involved, like Earthroots and Greenpeace, obviously have very specific opinions on very specific issues. So you wouldn't, would you or would you not say that these, there's not like a tone towards like a specific outcome here. These are just general skills for anybody. So potentially someone who is completely opposed to Greenpeace's ideas could go and still take value from these things. Like I'm basically getting at, they're not kind of teaching or insisting on a certain message. These are just literally just skills workshops.
Exactly.
Is that right?
Exactly. Okay. And I mean, it's very, the reason that we launched this program was because we felt like there really wasn't an equivalent in Toronto, where it's useful to get involved with a group where you already kind of identify with the political message and project. But the ability to then hone a method and then do independent stuff, launch your own things, is limited. And so it's certainly the case that we don't have any clear political line in any of the workshops. The people who come in to facilitate are often very honest, though, about where they're coming from, how they're situated, and what their politics are. And I think that's important. Like, it is a political workshop series. People shouldn't come expecting that there won't be discussion of politics, but it will be at that register of method. How do we break things down and learn how to share these skills? And I think that it's one thing that we just don't have a lot of time to do in our political organizing, in the rush from one crisis to the next.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. Absolutely. So in closing here, just as you said, you were talking about, this is a Toronto group doing some Toronto workshops. Are you aware of or have any information about or information on how to start maybe some of these ideas elsewhere in Canada? We're a national program. So if someone's sitting in BC, is there somewhere else maybe in across the country that people can get information about this sort of thing?
That's a really good question. We have on our website, and I'm not prepared with a good list, on our website, a list of allies and equivalent programs in Canada and the US and elsewhere. And so I would just recommend people visit our site and check out those links. It's toolsforchange.net. You can also register for the upcoming series for 2012-2013. There are going to be about 18 workshops, which is really exciting.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Claire O'Connor, again, representative of Tools for Change Toronto.
Thank you.